U.S. troops could be withdrawn from Iraq in the coming months. There are now 127,000 U.S. troops there. In Afghanistan, the president said the death of hundreds of Afghanis is not acceptable. He said the international community should focus more on rooting out the cause of terrorism instead of just reacting to it. The U.S. military announced today that four U.S. soldiers were killed in fighting in eastern Afghanistan. Near Baghdad today, five U.S. troops were killed in fighting. Iraqi police also freed 17 of the approximately 55 factory workers who were still being held captive after yesterday's abductions. The fate of the remaining captives is unknown. In Washington, officials say the U.S. is not likely to shoot down a North Korean missile if it is launched, but the country would suffer consequences. North Korea's ambassador has been summoned to the Russian Foreign Ministry to discuss the issue. While having breakfast together in Jordan, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert apologized to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas for recent attacks in Gaza that killed 13 civilians, but he said Israel would continue targeting suspected militants. In Washington, a Senate committee has voted to shift $11 billion from a Pentagon request and use it to pay for domestic programs instead. But even if it is approved, those funds are not expected to be significant, since most of the funding for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan comes from separate emergency bills. In Washington, a scientific panel has concluded that the Earth is now at its warmest point ever in the last 400 years. The top climate scientists blame human activities for much of the warming. Also in Washington, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a Mexican man who has lived in the U.S. for 20 years should be deported. The decision is expected to affect many longtime illegal aliens. In Arizona, firefighters say today is a critical day in stopping the advance of a 3,200-acre wildfire in Sedona. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The House has voted to exempt many estates from taxation and lessen the impact of taxes on others, but the bill would restore estate taxes in 2010. Also, the House is close on voting on a line item veto bill. That bill would give the president more power to cut out wasteful spending from appropriations bills. AT&T now says it owns customers' phone records and can hand them over to law enforcement when necessary. Privacy advocates are denouncing the policy change, which becomes effective tomorrow. A group that provides information about management and the marketplace says most salaried employees can expect only a 3.5% pay increase this year. The Conference Board also predicted inflation will rise by 3.1% this year and 3.3% in 2007. The Conference Board also reports that the leading U.S. economic indicators fell 0.6% in May. Economists see that as a sign that the economy will grow at a slow to moderate pace in the coming months. Chrysler says it will begin selling unsold 2006 models starting next month at a discount. The Detroit automaker says it may offer employee discounts to everyone. The Labor Department reports that 308,000 Americans filed for jobless benefits last week. Light sweet crude settled at $70.84 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 60 points, NASDAQ down 18, S&P 500 down 7. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Now, head on with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I'm Bob Kincaid. You know what this is. It's Head On. It's Thursday. Your daily confrontation with the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. A lot of them out there. Let's start with something a little bit different, though. No, wait. If you were listening to Bruce Birch's program prior to this one, you know that something more momentous than many of us realize has occurred, may realize, has occurred today. If you go to the headonradionetwork.com main page, you will see that our interview with First Lieutenant Aaron Watata, an American hero, has been posted there. I encourage you, if you have not heard it already, to listen to it. If you have, if you know someone who should hear Lieutenant Watata, encourage them to go there and listen to it, because the fact of the matter is that interview 2 nights ago may well represent the last bit of free speech that First Lieutenant Aaron Watata will enjoy. His unit deployed today to the illegal, immoral, unjust war crime that is, in fact, George Bush's war against the people of Iraq. And Lieutenant Watata, true to his word, refused to go. And because there are members of the United States military who love their military more than they do their country or the Constitution they are sworn to protect and defend, he has been confined to the base. He has been muzzled. He has been shut up. Now, I think if you are familiar with this program, you know that I am no glory whore. And I don't want to lead anybody's revolution or anything like that. I'm fortunate enough in doing conversation radio from the political left. I am fortunate in that I am dealing with people who are themselves self-motivators, self-starters, and self-actualizers. I don't think I could stand it if I had to talk to the ditto heads every day. Morons. But once in a while, I'm going to ask you to do something. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you have not signed the petition at thankyoult.org, please go and do so. Once again, please remember, Lieutenant Watata could wind up doing more military time in Fort Leavenworth for refusing to go to Iraq and slaughter civilians, or be slaughtered himself, or his men. He may do more time in Fort Leavenworth than the monsters of Abu Ghraib. He may do more time in Fort Leavenworth than soldiers who have killed civilians in Iraq. I have tried to be gentle about this. I have tried to be somewhat dispassionate, because the American members of the American military, the vast majority of them, attempt to serve with honor. but the stinking rat bastard who confined Lieutenant Watata to quarters today loves his military more than he loves his country. And the stinking rat bastard who gave the lower stinking rat bastard the order to detain Lieutenant Watata loves his military more than he loves his country. This is nothing short of a crisis of conscience in this nation. I don't know who all Lieutenant Watata spoke with, but he spoke to you on Tuesday evening. And so if you know of people who need who should know about Lieutenant Watata and his bold, brave, courageous stand in the face of fascism, send them to the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com website. Let them hear Lieutenant Watata in his own words, for he is well-spoken, he is eloquent, and he is intelligent. Let the nation, let the world know, please, I implore you, about what is being done to Lieutenant Watata. Please remember that Lieutenant Watata attempted to honorably and with dignity and decency resign his commission. And his so-called superiors refused that resignation, realizing that if that was permitted to happen, that they might run the risk of full-scale mutiny. Of men and women of conscience standing up from within the ranks of the American military and refusing to participate in George Bush's war against a third world people. It is a war crime, Iraq. If any of the little nations that joined with the United States in the coalition of the billing had done this on their own, they would have been invaded and put down and stopped. We're too big to do that too. Please, and it's no great effort, it's a few emails. Please, let Lieutenant Watata's voice be heard. For as of now, it will be heard no more. He has no access to the press. He has no access to the outside. I don't know, as we speak now, if he has access to his family or to counsel. He hasn't even been charged yet, and he has been confined to base. There are many, many, many of you out there who know that this war is illegal and have said so from the outset. Lieutenant Watata has given you voice from within the ranks of the United States military. You owe me nothing. You will not, for as long as this radio network exists, I will be here, I will do what I do, and I will not have my hand out. You owe me nothing. But if you are ready to put rubber against the road and stop this immoral, illegal, unjust war crime started by George Bush with the connivance of a compliant Republican Congress, then you owe First Lieutenant Aaron Watata more than you can calculate. And it's time to call the chits in. It is time to make your voices heard when one voice has been silenced. Can you do that? Can you share First Lieutenant Aaron Watata's voice with as many people as you know? Can you understand? Oh, God, I did it again. You do understand the urgency. And, yes, I know the lawn needs to be mowed. And I know you got to go to the grocery store. And I know the roof's leaking. And I know you got to get a new set of tires. It's hotter than hell in the refrigerator's on the fritz. And I know the babies have the sniffles. I know. Because that is American life. That is your life. That is my life. That is our life. We are deliberately kept busier than we can stand to be. So that when moments like this come around, it'll be easy to say, well, someone else will do it. Someone else did do it. Lieutenant Aaron Watata did it. This is bravery in its most elemental dictionary definition, what he did. You know, I like to think this is a fairly literate program, and I am blessed in having a very literate audience, my rear end, a very literate group of friends who share their time with me. And so, if you need a little motivation for why you should stand up for Lieutenant Watata while he is standing up for you, go and read Herman Melville's Bartleby the Scrivener. Go and read Billy Budd. We get told that, well, you know, the troops are in Iraq, so we can have free speech over here. They're defending our rights in Iraq. You want to know who's defending your rights? One lone man standing up against the entire monolithic structure of the United States military, and his name is Aaron Watata. No begging, no pleading, a little bit of imploring. Please, share Lieutenant Watata's voice now that he may not do so himself. This is Soviet stuff. You understand? Yes, you understand that. Stop it, Bob. This is Soviet stuff. This is what you do with a Nathan Sharansky. This is what you do with an Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Send them to the gulag and silence them. This has been Lieutenant Watata's fate, and he knew it. He knew what he was facing. And doing that, knowing that, again, is the definition of courage. I'm angry. Oh, yeah, I know. Bob's mad again. Bob's always mad. I'm angry at the captain that executed the order. I'm angry at the major who gave the order. I'm angry at the colonel who initiated or who passed the order down. I'm angry at the general who initiated the order. And I'm angry at the top brass at the Pentagon who said, shut him up and put him away! Because do you think for an instant that the top brass at the Pentagon does not understand that they are engaged in a war crime? They know they are. And they know that if one Aaron Watata gets loose, that he'll give rise to 2 and 2 to 4 and 4 to 8 and 8 to 16 and 16 to 32 and 32 to 64 and 64 to 128 and 128 to 256 and so forth. They are afraid. And they should be, for in a just world, this would not be permitted to go on. Lieutenant Watata is trying to stand. Listen, Billy Budd, Bartleby the Scrivener, the dude in Tiananmen Square standing in front of the tank. That's Lieutenant Watada. That is a hero. I support him. This is where the moral questions get easy. Support him. Let's take a break. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, Head On. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
That bedtime song?
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world since its own needs. Dummies.
guitar, slash and burn, return. Listen to yourself churn. Locking in uniform.
Before all right, welcome back. 25 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. Again, nice music, Agnes.
T.Y.
If you have not done so, I heartily encourage you to go by the chat room. Well, the rest of the website. It's wonderful. Head on radionetwork.com, the chat room there. During the programs, all the programs on the horn, it's a wonderful interactive place to be when you're listening. So, you know, it's free. Check it out. There are, if you like the more permanent form of interchange and interaction, headonradio.com. No network on that one, just headonradio.com, my website. Some very simple, very user-friendly message boards there. Jump right in. We have a blast. So, I don't know that there's a lot more I can say about Lieutenant Watata, except to, again, implore you to share his story with others and to share his voice. I really don't know how many people he got to talk to, because, you know, he was muzzled by the military. Thou shalt not talk to the media. Thou shalt not express thyself with thy First Amendment rights while wearing thy sacred uniform. Or during thy sacred duty hours. So that limited him to West Coast late afternoon, East Coast night shows like mine. So, you know, I don't know how many other interviews with Lieutenant Watata there are out there. But I know there is one, and there is one opportunity for us to share his words, his voice. And especially coming as it did today with the vote in the Senate. You know, it kind of reminded me of the Alito vote, frankly. Where is it? The Kerry Feingold proposal that still stops short of what really needs to be done, because we all know the answer is get out now. I know there's a couple hundred thousand troops to get out, but you know what? You get out tomorrow by starting today. But here's the honor roll of Americans. And you're going to be surprised by who's not on it as much as who is. These are the people who voted in favor of redeploying American troops within a year. Now, in a year, 500 more dead Americans, 1,000 more dead Americans, maybe it gets even worse and there's 2,000 or 5,000 dead Americans within a year. So within a year, we were willing to ask someone to be the last person to die for a horrible mistake. Senator Kerry, Senator Feingold, Senator Boxer, Senator Akaka, Senator Durbin, Senator Harkin, Senator Inouye, Senator Jeffords, Senator Kennedy, Senator Lautenberg, Senator Leahy, Senator Menendez, and Senator Wyden. Oh, Robert Byrd, Robert Byrd, where were you, Robert Byrd? Where were you, Senator Rockefeller? Where were you when young Americans needed you most? Where were you, Senator Byrd, when young Americans who hope to live someday to be as old as you, they don't necessarily have to be a senator, they just want to have a dignified old age. Where were you, Senator Byrd? Where were you? There's others. Where were you, Senator Reed? Where were you, Senator Blanche Lincoln? Where were you, Senator Mary Landrieu? Where were you, Senator Pryor? Where were you, Senator Nelson? Where were you, other Senator Nelson? Where were you? Where were you? Where were you, Senator Feinstein? Where were you? Where were you, Senator Clinton? Where were you, Senator Obama? Where were you? You remember that old spiritual? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Not Senator Clinton. Not Senator Obama. Not Senator Feinstein. Not moderate Republican Olympia Snow. Not moderate Republican Lincoln Chafee. Not moderate Republican Susan Collins. Where were you when the roll was called of patriotic American Senator Byrd? Where were you? Where were you? We'll be back on the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Bangkok, Oriental setting, and the city don't know what the city is deaf. The creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Time flies, doesn't seem a minute since the Tyrolean spa had the chess bars in it. All change, don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue. Iceland, or the Philippines, or Hastings, or this place.
One night in Bangkok, in the world, you're first up. The bars are temples, but the pools ain't free. You'll find a god in every golden person. And if you're lucky, then the gods are she. I can feel an angel sliding up to me.
One town's very like another when your head's down.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
I'm Jesse Russell.
Federal class action lawsuits are being filed against hospitals in Chicago, San Antonio, Albany, and Memphis, alleging an illegal conspiracy to suppress nurse wages. SEIU's Andy Stern says this conspiracy is part of an overall degradation in working conditions, bad for nurses and for patients.
Who pays for all of this illegality and conspiracy? Do nurses pay for it in terms of short staffing and inadequate wages? And patients pay for it through decreased time with RNs and a greater risk of complications.
Lisa Reed, the Chicago RN and a plaintiff in this case.
In my 15 years, I have seen more and more nurses leaving the bedside. We've watched corporations take over our hospitals and start running them like businesses. Something must be done to improve our working conditions and keep nurses in the profession. That's why I decided to be a plaintiff in this historic lawsuit. For our patients and our professional nurses, we must hold corporations like Advocate accountable for their upside-down priorities.
Using the federal antitrust laws, the suits allege that for years, these hospitals have secretly and systematically exchanged information on what they pay nurses in order to suppress nurse wages. The goal of the lawsuits is to get the extra compensation the nurses deserve.
Negotiations are set to resume between two New York City Hilton-owned hotels and the union representing staff. The Waldorf Astoria and the New York Hilton have yet to come to an agreement with Unite Here, the union representing staff at the two hotels. An agreement was reached with the New York Hotel and Motel Trades Council and the Hotel Association of New York City over a six-year contract set to take hold on July 1, 2006, covering more than 100 other hotels in New York City. The agreement with the council is expected to be overwhelmingly ratified by union members. It includes wage increases of 4% for the first 3 years and an additional 3.5% each for the remaining 3 years. Pension contributions will also increase by 2%, and medical benefits will remain as is. Hilton representatives wish to return to bargaining today to discuss remaining concerns over economic and non-economic issues. Temp workers in San Mateo County, California now qualify for limited benefits. The workers, organized by the SEIU and AFSCME last year, will now receive holiday pay, medical benefits, and raises under a contract approved on Tuesday.
Here's today's economic report. From 1830 through 1970, real wages for workers rose every decade, but real wages are not rising now. Measured in constant 1982 dollars, the U.S. Department of Labor says weekly wages were $302.52 in 1964. In 2004, wages were lower, down to $277.57. Labor Research Associates says the Bureau of Labor Statistics reveals another drop in real wages over the past year. These stagnant and falling wages are lowering the living standards of U.S. workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Take me now, baby, here as I am. Pull me close and try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
We have a new vocabulary word. I monitor the chat room. And it's one of those things you can just say and people won't notice, necessarily notice at first. I saw it blow by in print. And I kind of went, did one of those great W.C. Fields double takes. Ask Senator. A-S-S-E-N-A-T-O-R. Many kind thanks to our friend in the chat room, Saren. Ask Senator. Well, my Ask Senator is Robert C. Byrd. You know, that's still not as bad as the poor people of Alabama whose Ask Senator is Jeff Sessions. Or my God, I can't imagine. Can you imagine having to live in Mississippi and say, well, my senator's Trent Lott? Woo! Yee! Urf. Yeah, I don't do that, and I don't make that noise as well as Bruce does. Urf. My ass senator. That's right up there with Congress Critter. Yeah, I mean, that's... I said it reminded me of the Alito vote because we got just slightly less votes for saving American lives in Iraq today than we got for saving the Constitution in the face of Samuel Alito a few months ago. Now, I want to share. Okay, this is reading. I don't like to just outright read that much, but I'm going to because I'm proud of myself. You know, I write a letter to my ass senator, and, you know, we have to put it on the refrigerator next to the kids' Crayola drawings from school. Honey, I wrote this bird a letter. There, dear. We'll put it on the refrigerator.
Markings and all.
Oh, well, you know, you never know when computer geniuses out there, for when I send emails to Senator Byrd, could you guys give me like some sort of code I could embed in my email that'll make like a coffee stain ring and like cyber donut sugar? Because, you know, that's what impresses him. But anyway, I fired off a letter to Senator Byrd today, and dear, you're going to have to help me with the mouse. And, you know, I'm trying to be nice. You know, he's an old guy, and he's done some good. And I just said, dear Senator Byrd, please first let me tender my sincerest condolences on the loss of your lovely wife, Irma. She was indeed the pearl of which the scriptures speak. Yesterday I heard one of John Racy's ads. In it he claims you don't support the troops. You and I both know that to be a bald-faced lie. No one has been more true to the military than you have in your political career. The West Virginia Air National Guard stands in bold testament to that fact. Still, Senator Byrd, I am finding it increasingly difficult to support you. Your votes in favor of the bankruptcy bill that punishes working families in crisis was nothing short of a betrayal of the working class that elevated you to such high office. You did the same thing over a year ago with the estate tax. Recently, you voted in favor of one of the most bigoted pieces of trash ever to be considered in the U.S. Senate when you voted for the Defense of Marriage Amendment. For me, though, the vote you cast in favor of Samuel Alito was the vote that most made me wonder about your commitment to principles of democratic government. How did you feel, Senator Byrd, when your man Alito cast the deciding vote last week that put innocent citizens at risk by allowing the police to enter a home without knocking when serving a search warrant? Were you surprised? You shouldn't have been. Alito, who broke a 4-4 deadlock on the court, voted during his tenure on the Circuit Court of Appeals to allow the strip search of a 10-year-old girl, also without a warrant. The court's Hudson decision sets the stage for tragedy, Senator. What do you expect will happen, Senator, when police serving a search warrant start entering the homes of West Virginians without knocking? What happens to an innocent baby crawling on the floor by the door when the police come through, oblivious to anything save serving their warrant? Accidents happen, Senator, but in this case, it is no accident. It is an extension and manifestation of Samuel Alito's disregard for the rights of individuals in this society, and it is something that you helped put in place. I know you hold fast to your religion. For that reason, I call upon you to acknowledge its teachings and publicly repent for your vote to confirm Alito. A further part of that repentance might come in standing up and demanding an immediate end to the unjust, unlawful, outright criminal outrage that is the war George Bush started in Iraq. Senator, you have been financially supported by liberals and progressives. No less a liberal organization than Move On gave you several $100,000. You need them this November. It's time you started acknowledging that. I, for one, will not vote for John Racey, but unless I see positive change coming from you in your public political stances, I will have no choice in November but to leave your race blank and to encourage others to do the same. I cannot support a politician who does not share my dedication to the sanctity of home and to the sanctity of human and constitutional rights for all Americans. Best regards, Bob Kincaid. Now, I guess I sent that off about 8 o'clock this morning, Eastern Time. By this afternoon, Senator Byrd had done it again. Scared to death of multimillionaire, right-wing, fascist, freak, goony goober John Racey, he couldn't bring himself to stand with the other 13 bold members of the United States Senate who are unwilling to ask someone to be the last person to die for a mistake. The list I got on the vote, I got from John Kerry's internet machine. You know, I'm not quite so silly as to think that, dear Bob, you know, I caught one of those. Oh God, who was it from? Maybe it was from John Edwards. I'm not sure, but some, you know, it's the same thing. It's a little box and dear Bob, buddy
knows you well.
Well, this one this other one started out, contribute, dear Bob.
Waste no time.
Well, you know, an honest politician, you know, you're up for that once in a while. Now, I got the memo from John Kerry with the list of who voted for. God knows it was a short list. And toward the bottom of it is this from John Kerry. He asks that we write or email these senators and thank them for their stand, and I agree with that. Let's do the list again. Senator Daniel Akaka. Well, Senator Kerry. Senator Feingold. Senator Daniel Akaka. Senator Barbara Boxer. Senator Richard Durbin. Senator Tom Harkin. Senator Daniel Inouye. Senator James Jeffords. Senator Edward Kennedy. Senator Frank Lautenberg. Senator Patrick Leahy. Senator Robert Menendez. And Senator Ron Wyden. Call or email their offices and give them your support, please. Because when they went out and did this today, they set themselves up. You know this, we know this, we know how filthy, how unutterably, disgustingly rotten, putrid, maggot-infested the right wing is, and we know how they will respond.
They don't love America.
Nope, Cephas, they don't love America. They're America haters. I think I seen one of them sitting with Jane Fonda somewhere.
Jesus, don't do that.
They're gonna get just buckets of filth dropped on them for this vote today. And I got issues with every last one of these senators. But it is a representative process, and they are there to vote their conscience. And sometimes they do. They did today. This little handful, Wyden, Menendez, Leahy, Lautenberg, Kennedy, Jeffords, Inouye, Harkin, Durbin, Boxer, Akaka, Feingold, and Kerry. And I am grateful to them. I read an article the other day that referred to Al Franken not being willing to call for a pullout, a withdrawal, an end, damn it. Let's call it what it is, an end to George Bush's war against the innocent people of Iraq. Because you know what? The bullets go through the innocent as well as the guilty. The reign of the quality of mercy is not strained. It falleth as the gentle rain of heaven upon the just and the unjust. Well, there is no strain upon the quality of murder and death either. And it falleth upon the just and the unjust Iraqis in equal measure. In fact, when you boil it right down to its essence, the quality of hell and damnation has fallen on the just and the innocent and the female and the pregnant and the infant far more heavily than it has fallen upon any unjust elements in Iraq. You see. Agnes says, I need a break. So, by God, we're going to take one. But I ain't done. Oh, no, Lord, no, I ain't done. This is the Head On Radio Network. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
I never knew that everything was falling through. That everyone I knew was waiting on a cue to turn and run when all I needed.
Good. Once. Planet check.
With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
It's called biodiesel.
I got a biodiesel van.
Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Was in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
If we do not take responsibility for saving animals from extinction, we allow a part of ourselves to die with them, because in the web of life, we are all connected. Help World Wildlife Fund protect animals and the places where they live by ordering a free action kit. Together, we can leave our children a living planet.
There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. DUBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
I'm a real wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one. Wild one. Wild.
So it's 8 minutes before the hour. That gives us a little bit of time to finish up my email from John Kerry. And they are moving words. As I noted, he says, please call, write, or email these senators and acknowledge their leadership on Iraq. And he goes on and he says, let me be absolutely clear. Russ Feingold and I would have forced this vote even if the outcome were going to be 98-2, ending the Bush administration's disastrous approach to this war. Isn't about counting votes. The tears are pooling in my eyes about now, by the way. It isn't about legislative strategy or electoral calculation. It's about applying constant pressure to change a broken course. Okay, they're rolling down my cheeks. It's about utterly rejecting the desperate tactics of cowardly political operatives like Karl Rove, who, as John Murtha pointed out, have no qualms about telling our soldiers to stay the course from the comfort of their air-conditioned offices at the White House. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Then he writes, it's about doing what's right. Karl Rove may worry about losing votes. It's our job to worry about young Americans losing their lives. It's our job to provide a new vision that offers real security for America while giving the Iraqis their best chance for a stable Iraq. I will keep doing what's right on Iraq. And I won't stop until our troops are home and the future of Iraq is in the hands of the Iraqi people. I know you'll keep working right alongside me. Sincerely, John Kerry. Go to hell, sir. John Kerry, you go straight to hell, mister. You had a chance to say that in 2004, but by God, you were too triangulated. You were too influenced by your handlers. You were too... What? God, that makes me mad. I'm proud. I am proud of what he did today. But Jesus Christ on the cross, how many Americans are dead because he wouldn't do it in 2004? How many Americans are dead? How many Americans have died for a mistake, Senator Kerry? Because you would not come out in 2004 and blatantly and plainly tell the American people that the war against the people of Iraq was illegal and immoral and must end. How many, Senator? How many? How many? How many? Well, you know, Bob, at least he's finally getting the idea. We wouldn't be having this ceremonial vote, including 13 or 15 American patriotic senators today, if from the stump... Yeah, I know about the black box voting machines. I know it. I know it. I know the election was stolen. But had John Kerry come out and with facts and figures pointed out exactly how wrong this all is, the black boxes may not have had a chance. Because the black boxes only work in a close election where you can flip it. How many people refused to go to the polls? How many people slept in? How many people stayed home because you had candidate A for the war and candidate B for the war? A week ago he came out and repented himself of the vote for the war. Thanks. Thanks. The mothers whose sons are rotting in a brig because they've been charged with murder for something that happened a couple of months ago when they could have been home, John Kerry, if you had just said we must end the war. Thank you. What does it say? I'm sorry to keep falling back on my upbringing, but what does it say? I would rather ye were hot or cold. But ye are lukewarm, and I will spit you out of my mouth. I'm proud of what went on today. But there was an opportunity for this to happen 2 years ago. And conniving politicians refused to do the right thing, the moral thing, the decent thing, the thing that Jesus would do. They refused to do because they were afraid some right-wing fat freak like Karl Rove would say that they were cutting and running. And that hangs in my throat with the bitter taste of gall. God, it hangs in my throat. We've got news coming. Maybe we'll find something else to talk about. Something besides collaborators and cowards. This is Head On, the Head On Radio Network, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Polish your face. Picks up the Herald and sees the face of Zelda Fitzgerald. She's part of the scene of life between the wars.
tropic sun is sticky and warm, and it bakes the head of Somerset Mom, who is writing a scene of life between the wars. You're waiting by the hot dog stand in the onion air as the ball flies through the pod. Violet and Vita run through the streets of Paris, their laughter floating through the dark. A fog that fell is swallowing London. Coco Chanel came back with a suntan to brighten the scene of life between the wars.
This is the Quality News Network. The Senate has rejected two Democrat-backed resolutions that called for U.S. troop withdrawals from Iraq. Vice President Dick Cheney said that withdrawing troops would make the U.S. and its allies more vulnerable to attacks. Meanwhile, the top U.S. commander in Iraq says that U.S. troop levels will probably come down this year. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said the exact number has not been determined, but that the level will probably fluctuate depending on various factors, including political stability in Iraq. Near Baghdad today, five U.S. troops were killed in fighting, and officials in Mosul discovered the bodies of at least 25 executed Iraqis. Iraqi police also freed 17 of the approximately 55 factory workers who were still being held captive after yesterday's abductions. In Washington, officials say the U.S. is not likely to shoot down a North Korean missile if it is launched, but the country would suffer consequences. The U.S. missile defense system was activated on Tuesday, but officials say the system is not fully reliable. During a meeting in Jordan, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert apologized to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas for recent attacks in Gaza that killed 13 civilians. But he said Israel would continue targeting suspected militants. The two leaders said they would hold a more substantial meeting soon. In Washington, a Senate committee has voted to shift $11 billion from a Pentagon funding request and use it to pay for domestic programs instead. But even if approved, those cuts are not expected to be significant, since most of the funding for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan comes from separate emergency bills. Also in Washington, Democrat John Edwards has proposed an ambitious plan that would end poverty in the U.S. in the next 30 years. He says his plan, which would include the creation of 1 million short-term jobs and raise a federal minimum wage, would lift 37 million Americans out of poverty. In Washington, a scientific panel has confirmed a report that the Earth is now at its warmest point than in the last 1,000 years. Scientists blame human activities for much of the warming. In Arizona, 700 firefighters continue battling a 3,200-acre wildfire in Sedona. They say it's critical to contain the fire today. Crews are also battling a nearly 1,200-acre wildfire in Colorado. In Ohio, several towns have been flooded by powerful storms. 5 inches of rain reportedly fell in the Toledo area in 5 hours.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The House has voted to exempt many estates from taxation and lessen the impact of estate taxes on others, but those estate taxes will be restored in 2010. Also, the House is close to voting on a line item veto bill. It would give the president more power to cut out wasteful spending from appropriations bills. AT&T now says it owns its customers' phone records and can hand them over to law enforcement if called to do so. That policy change becomes effective tomorrow. U.S. and British officials are investigating an alleged airline price-fixing scheme. The probe centers around British Airways, Virgin Atlantic, United, and American Airlines. The Labor Department reports that the number of Americans filing for unemployment has increased by the largest amount in 5 weeks. Last week, 308,000 Americans filed for jobless benefits. Federated Department Stores will sell their Lord & Taylor chain for $1.2 billion cash. A property development firm is buying the 48 stores. Indonesian officials say they will pay off $3.7 million of its debt to the International Monetary Fund next week. Other countries have recently been paying off their debts early to avoid paying high interest, which is how the fund derives its operating income. Light sweet crude settled at $70.84 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 60 points at 11,019. NASDAQ down 18, S&P 500 down 7. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
You know that old, it's like a truism or something. It's the punchline to a bad joke in Hollywood, and I guess on Broadway, where the starlet or the young studly actor is praised for their new body of work and the real topsy turvy world they've turned acting into with their new craft, and they'll say yes. But really, I want to direct. People want to direct this show. And I got told to stop yelling. All this program is pure, unadulterated, naked candor. And when the passions take me where they take me, I suppose I apologize if I raise my voice. I make a conscious effort not to. It's not good for me. It's not good for the little Kincaids who say, "What's wrong with Daddy?" But a mea culpa after 2 years after an opportunity existed to save 1,000 members of the military, nay, 10,000 members. Is this where I'm supposed to say, well, yeah, I guess it's better than nothing? Because that is what we're saying, isn't it? We're saying that what happened today in the United States was better than nothing. How much better than nothing? How much better than nothing was today? And I want to be an optimist about it and say, okay, well, this was just the first time through. The next time we'll have 19 senators. And next year, you know, if we get a majority in the Senate, the next year we can do we have in 2007, can we count on Democrats in the United States Senate to vote their consciences instead of their fears of November? There is not one single member of the United States Senate, be they Republican or Democrat, who is not a damn millionaire. Not one. Not one. And they're afraid. Bill Nelson in Florida is so afraid of Catherine Harris that he can't vote to save American lives? Catherine Harris? What did Zippy the Pinhead used to say? Yow! Ben Nelson in Nebraska. He'd rather see young Nebraskans being blown into their constituent parts in Iraq for an abject failed disaster than he would send, them over to Lincoln, where they can matriculate as Cornhuskers or go to Creighton and maybe build a better America. Is that how it works? Am I so far removed from the American realpolitik that I just don't get it? The bodies of those two young men who were kidnapped and tortured and killed, their bodies were used for booby traps to hopefully kill more Americans.
Bob, that's because they hate freedom.
No. They hate us. They want freedom. They are not free as long as we occupy them. You know, and sleazy Dick Cheney said,
withdrawing from Iraq would be the worst possible thing we could do.
Well, for you, Dick, yeah, sure. Duh, you think? It's hell on a popsicle stick for you and Halliburton if we get out of Iraq. Jesus criminy, we're stupid. If we think that it would be good for you. We're Democrats, not dummies. We know you want to stay, you evil old bastard. We know you don't care how many Menendezes and Machacas and Joneses and Llewellyns and... You don't care how many of them die over there. You're building bases, dick baby. You've got a higher plan. But your higher plan is a pyramid built on bones and blood and sinew and gristle and guts and hearts. And a lake of tears of mothers. You evil old son of a syphilitic sea cook, you Dick Cheney. Where are the American people? In anticipation of this vote, did Bill and Ben Nelson get a flood of letters with donut sugar and coffee stains on them saying, "Stay the course"? This is the kind of stuff that can bring out the mean-spirited. This is the kind of stuff that can make you say, reinstate the draft now, and make sure that the draft numbers start with the sons of the senators. And the sons of the congressmen, and the daughters of the president. We have no business fighting wars that all of America is not willing to participate in. We have no business fighting wars overseas. Unless we have been first provoked and attacked. And provocation does not include some dude who writes Arabic harlequin romance novels. Playing footsie with a possibility of a weapons program because he's scared half to death of the religious loonies directly to his east. God. I mean, honest to God, if you were Saddam Hussein, if you were Saddam Hussein, would you want Iran to think that you had just the nastiest weapons conceivable? Iran, for all intents and purposes, is like having an entire nation run by Jerry Falwell next door to you. With unlimited resources. And they're religious crazies, so they think you probably need to die because you're not religiously crazy like they are. Saddam Hussein was a piece of crap. Human waste. He was garbage. And he was mean. And apparently, from all appearances, he was a rotten parent. Not much of a husband either. Lay out the entire indictment of Saddam Hussein as a human being, and you still cannot make that equation balance with 150, 175, 200,000 dead Iraqis, most of whom are women, pregnant women, and children. Because I submit to you that if you can make that equation work, you, sir, you, madam, are a psychopath. You belong in a comfortable air-conditioned room with soft walls, a straitjacket and a purple crayon between your toes because you are just sprayed roach crazy. And we've got how many senators who want Americans to keep dying in that hellhole for a...
Well, we got to complete the mission.
Jesus criminy, what's the mission? Somebody tell me what the mission is and I'll at least pass my own judgment on... Well, we're going to set up a free and democratic Iraq. The hell you are! You cannot impose democracy at the point of a damn gun! Democracy is an organic process. Jesus, when the Greeks invented it, it was organic. It was a function of centuries, nay, millennia, of warring tribal chieftains and petty kings and little tin pot dictators until the people who were taking the orders and doing all the work kind of said, look, we need to be, let's have a chat. And the chat became the demos.
There he goes again. Next thing you know, he'll be talking about the Romans.
It's either way too complex or way too simple for my mind, and I'm somewhere in the middle, and I don't get it. And I suspect you don't get it either.
That's right. You don't get it, Bob, because you're not a good American. I should show you the email sometime.
This is Head On. The Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
traffic. All this traffic. When will it end? Doesn't it seem like there are more cars on the road every day?
As our population continues to grow, our daily commute isn't the only thing changing. Rapid population growth around the world threatens our quality of life in other ways. It endangers the environment, economic development, even the future health of our children. U.S. support for voluntary family planning programs worldwide improves everyone's quality of life and helps slow population growth. Find out how you can help increase support for these crucial programs. We're Population Action International, working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Nickelodeon asks kids to talk to their parents about,
you know,
no way.
Boy and girl stuff. A girl in my school in elementary school had told me about it, but she told me the wrong thing. She told me something totally wrong. And when I asked my mom, I didn't know how she was going to react to the question. But then I figured it'd be better to ask her and get the right information. So I went out and I got my books and I brought pictures and I explained, this is what really happened. I was shocked when my mom told me the truth, which was totally different from what she said. So that's how I kind of handled it. I realized that she was a little bit uncomfortable. Her top lip gets really skinny. It's like this. Sometimes I can feel my lip getting skinny because she's brought it to my attention before I didn't realize, and now I can feel it happening, and I'm kind of afraid.
But it doesn't work.
Talk together.
A part of the big help.
For more information, go to nick.com.
Help me a lot.
What on talk of mink?
A mí no me ocurrirá.
私には起きないわ。
هذا لن يحدث لي.
It won't happen to me.
Did you know there are 1 billion teenagers in the world today? Think about it. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how to protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? What if they do know how, but don't have the means to protect themselves? The decisions young people make today affect all of us. Help ensure that people have access to the information and services they need to build a safe and healthy future. We're Population Action International, working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Three minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. So I got an email from our good friend Sue on Big Coal River. And she notes, yesterday and today's total of military deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan, 9. And she says, according to Molly Ivan's column, Bush, in reference to the 2,500th dead soldier whose blood is on his hands, Bush said 2,500 is just a number. You know, there's an old story about the WHO. They were, you know, and riotous, you know how they were. And they got in the limo and they were leaving the hotel and they were driving away halfway to the airport. And Keith Moon said, turn the car around. I forgot something. And so, you know, no questions asked. They turn the limo around. They go back to the hotel. Keith Moon gets out, goes in the hotel, comes back a little bit later. They're going back to the airport, and they're in the limo. And, Roger Daltrey or Pete Townsend turns to him and says, what did you forget, Keith? Keith Moon looks at him and says, forgot to smash the telly. That's kind of where that's where I live. You know? It is. It's where I live.
And 2,500 is just a number. And I love our studio, but I don't know. I got to do something. Because one of these days, I'm going to read something like that, and I'm going to put my foot, my fist, or my head through something. It's just a number. That SOB hasn't been to one military funeral. Well, but you understand, Bob, he can't go to one military funeral because if he goes to one, he'll have to go to all of them. And then, you know, he won't get any work done because he'll constantly be going to funerals. And he's mortally afraid of Fred Phelps. Don't!
Wonder why.
It's just a number. You know, 9 dead in Iraq and Afghanistan between yesterday and today, that's 4.5 a day. Have you seen the new commercials advertising Apple computers, where the cool little hip dude is the Apple computer and the geeky guy with the polyester suit is the PC, and the little dude with the chin whiskers and he looks like he's about 10 years past grunge. Talks about all the cool hip things you can do, hip keen happening hip cat kind of things you can do with Mac. And the little PC geek says, well, I have entertainment features, too. Oh, yeah, what? I have a calculator. And the little dude that's a Mac says, have fun with that. The most important thing on your computer right now is the calculator. 4.5 times 365. That's how many more deaths we will have from this stinking war a year from today. Maybe a few more, maybe a few less. 4.5 times 365. No, nope, they're right. The calculator's no fun. How many is that? How many is that? Now multiply that number by 2, because that's Mama and Daddy. Multiply that by 2 again, because that's Sister and Brother. Do you see? Do you see where it takes you? Do you see where we go when mugwump Democrats like Bill Nelson and Ben Nelson and Robert Byrd? Joe Lieberman, you bastard, where was your name on that list? Do you see where we go when the go-alongs go along and the get-alongs get along? Do you see? Of course you do. Of course you do. So I'm going to take a break. Look, you don't have to listen to me run my yap all the rest of the night. If you want to get in on this, jump in. You're more than welcome. This is about you, not me. If I'm wrong on this, you tell me. If I'm overreacting to the fact that the Democrats in the Senate have finally come out and closed the door of the barn now that the horses are already gone, tell me. I can take it. I'm a big boy. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is the Head On Radio Network.
at the heart of our project is a study that has never been done before. We looked at a week in the life of 32 families where both parents work outside the home at least 30 hours.
732, we're good.
We videotaped how families were interacting with each other from the moment they woke up in the morning to the moment the kids went to bed at night. Be successful in our work. Work so long, and also manage to have a family life. We put together a team of anthropologists, clinical psychologists, education scientists, and linguists to understand the family as an integrated system. Archaeologists are used to digging in the ground and just, you know, hoping and praying that they're going to find a few shards and to be able to put together, you know, some artifacts. When they started doing this project, they were overwhelmed with the amount of stuff inside people's homes. The program is sponsored by the Alfred Creed Sloan Foundation. We have a digital lab. We have a server that is chock full of video data, archaeological data, photographs, and tracking information on where family members are every 10 minutes during the day. Some families are taking their kids to two or three activities every single day. That's a lot of running around. There are some families who are marvelous at doing all these different activities and they thrive on those activities. But for other families, the families are run ragged.
We're coming to get you now.
Where are we going?
We're going to hockey.
So 16 times 4,000.
Okay.
16 4,000.
A lot of useful skills get acquired by going to structured activities, but children have very little downtime. We filmed here in Los Angeles, but we feel that results are actually characteristic of this country as a whole. All over the United States, not just in the families we studied, there is a cultural assumption which associates unstructured time with something negative, but we need unstructured time just to be able to bring up something spontaneously, informally, with other family members. We're a very child-centered society. What's happened now is that we have gone beyond being a child-centered society to being a child-dominated society. Women are carrying much more of the household labor than men. Our study found that women are not assuming this burden without complaint. There are really three jobs that working parents have. Jobs at the workplace, then they have the extra job of having a family. The family is the heartbeat of the nation. If we don't have strong families, we don't have a strong nation.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Okay, I needed that.
It's just a jump to the left.
Damn right it's a jump to the left. And never mind the rest of that horse crap about the right.
That's why I stopped.
25 minutes and change. See, I need that calculator. 25 minutes and change before the hour. We're halfway through tonight's program. Let's move on. Let's just move on.
Okay.
What is it? Senators and cats will do as they please, and dogs and Democrats can damn well get used to it.
Not quite.
Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was too harsh.
What?
Maybe. Maybe standing up at all is a little victory. I'm guessing not, but maybe, just maybe. So anyway, I got something in my mail the other day. Cattle rancher, working his herd, way out in the middle of nowhere. Suddenly a brand new Cadillac Escalade comes pulling up. Big old dust cloud. You know how it looks. Driver gets out. Impeccably dressed. Armani suit. Gucci shoes. Dolce and Gabbana sunglasses. Yves Saint Laurent tie. And he looks out the window and asks the rancher, if I tell you exactly how many cows and calves you have in your herd, will you give me a calf? Cowboy kind of, you know how it is. You take the cowboy hat off and you wipe the sweat and the dirt off your brow and you kind of scratch your head for a second and you, well, okay, why not? So the guy parks his Escalade and gets out his notebook computer and connects it to his singular Razer V3 cell phone. He surfs it to a NASA page on the internet, and then he calls up a GPS satellite navigation system to get an exact fix on his location. Then he feeds that to another NASA satellite that scans the area in ultra-high-resolution photography. Then the guy opens his digital photo in Adobe Photoshop and exports it to an image processing facility in Hamburg, Germany. This part I know about, I'll tell you. Then a few seconds later, he gets an email on his Palm Pilot that the image has been processed and the data stored, and then he accesses an MSSQL database through an ODBC-connected Excel spreadsheet with email on his BlackBerry, and after a few minutes, he gets a response. Finally, he prints out a full-color 150-page report on his high-tech miniaturized HP LaserJet printer and turns to the cowboy and says, "You have exactly 1,586 cows and calves." Cowboy does the bit with the hat again and the rubbing, maybe this time he gets the red bandana out of his back pocket and wipes a little more schmutz off his face. And he says, "Well, yeah, you're right. I guess you can have one of my calves." And he watches the guy select one of the animals and he just sort of stands there looking. The guy puts it in the back of the Escalade. Finally, the rancher, he says to the fella, "Hey, look. If I can tell you exactly what your business is, will you give me back my calf?" The fella says, "All right, why not?" He says, "You're a Republican congressman." The fella says, "Wow, that's correct. How'd you figure it out?" He says, "Didn't have to guess. You showed up here even though nobody called you. You want to get paid for an answer I already knew to a question I never asked. You tried to show me how much smarter than me you are, and you don't know a thing about cows. Now give me back my damn dog." Isn't that the truth? Isn't that just the God's honest and unfly-blown truth? Because when it comes, did you see this voting rights business, the Voting Rights Act? That's right. The Republican House of Representatives stalled, balked, stopped, gagged, whatever you want to say, on the renewal of the Voting Rights Act. You know, that little piece of legislation that young Americans wound up buried in dams for. That Voting Rights Act. Ed is calling from Big Coal River. Hey, Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm getting along, I reckon.
Everybody going good tonight?
As good as can be expected. A little bit warm back here.
Well, I thought I'd call. Sound like you got a real good show. And since we're talking politics, I hate to spoil the rest of the evening for you, but how about old Joe? How's his ratings today?
I haven't seen him, Ed. You got something for me?
Well, I don't know. Joe's a little bit disgusting to me here lately. You know, you got a guy that won't take care of the little children at Marsh Fork Elementary, claims he don't have the money, and buying, $1,100 faucets for his mansion, and, going to put in a couple of gambling tables. He's got money for that, and You know, it just makes a man wonder, you know, who he's working for here lately.
Well, that's, dadgummit, Ed, that's the thing. You come through, you run into these things like this, and you just scratch your head, and you wonder what in the world, who are these people working for? It was late last night's show when we had a low, you know, sort of a low-grade hissy when I got the story from Judy about the football game getting named.
Yeah, I've seen that. Man, it's a shame if they ruin that. You know, what's going on there. You know, I sat and watched that this morning on the news, and they're brainwashing people, Bob. The people in West Virginia are going to have a rude awakening one day when this is all said and gone and they pull out of here. You know, they always do pull out and leave you holding the bag with nothing.
Yeah, the only thing we don't have, Ed, is the tumbleweeds.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're soon coming with what they're leaving us, you know.
Yeah.
I hate to get off subject here with the mountaintop removal. It's a bad deal. It's a bad business, and it's taken away a lot, and they're going to leave us with nothing.
Well, it's a symptom of a larger problem.
Yeah.
I mean, this is our problem here. This is the Bush administration's gift to us here. Now, you move out west. The Bush administration's gift to people out there is cutting down old growth forests.
Right.
Or changing rules to allow salvage logging in burned over national forest space when the science says that you have to leave those burned over places alone so the forest can come back.
Right. Well, you know, since we're in the politics, you know, I'm not much on politics, Bob. I think you always know that. And last couple of years, I've had to get into them to try to help these children. And with our new campaign, Pennies of Promise, we got an event coming up I thought maybe you'd like to know about.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe you can talk about it. It's got to do with politics tonight. And what we're going to do, we finally decided to let the cat out of the bag today, is... what I'm going to do, and a small group of us is going to help me, and we've got a lot of people from around West Virginia jumping in and going to support me. I'm going to start out at the Capitol, Bob, at Charleston, and I'm going to walk to Washington, D.C. I'm going to be carrying a big Pennies of Promise flag, and I'm going to, the whole idea of this is to draw more national attention to the issue. And going to do a little fundraising along the way. There's a few towns we got picked out that we are going to have a runner in front of, working the people, and see if I can do presentations about the Marsh Fork School. And, it's draw more attention, to the situation down
at sure.
Marsh Fork School.
That's okay. Don't worry about the background. We have that kind of stuff here all the time, yeah.
You know, it's a shame that a man's got to put on his walking boots and leave the state of West Virginia to go get help. And, you know, I first thought about, you know, going from the Capitol to Byrd's home, and he's never home. He's always in Washington.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a packet to him, and this Margaret Spelling, I believe is her name, was on the American School Board Journal. I don't know if you got to see that or not. They had a big issue on there about the Marsh Fork front
right.
cover. It's on the front page. And her sitting right there looking straight at it. And I think she should step up to the plate, too, and try to help these children. And Byrd, you know, I believe down deep in his heart, you know, he's a good old boy here in West Virginia. But, you know, I know where he stands, too, with the coal. And somebody's got to stand up to the plate, Bob, and quit sacrificing our little children for the price of this coal. You know, I know it's big business in West Virginia. I know men got to work. But our children ought to come first. Our children are our future. You know, as the governor says, they are our future. They are our tomorrow. And you know, how can a man get up on TV, part of his political campaign, and say that and not do nothing? And all the time down there at that Capitol, he's doing things for little kids, you know, all the time down there around little kids. Why is our little kids so much different down here at the Marsh Fork? Is it they got to admit that there's a problem before they can remove them?
Well, yeah, they're in, Ed, you and I both know, they're in Massey's way.
Well, sure. Well, where's Donnie Boy? You know,
yeah, where's and for the sake of the kids?
For the sake of the kids, that's what I started out with. That was my T-shirt. You know, I tried to go, you know, Bob Kiss is another one slipping out the back door. You know, that's who I started with. He's our representative of this county,
mm-hmm.
Speaker of the House. And I started calling Bob, and I called everybody else, the school boards, the health departments, and blah, blah. Nobody wanted to recognize the kids. I talked to Bob. He says, well, as soon as we go in special session, I'll bring it up. Well, Bob hasn't been man enough yet either. And, you know, Bob, Governor Wise was still in office, and he was handing out all that money for the sake of the kids. That's when that come about. And I thought, well, maybe I could get to Wise and get some of this money for these children. And Bob has actually done nothing. He was in meetings down there. He knows about the situation. You know, his kids are you know, the representative of the county, their kids, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're supposed to go to school in this county. And they're not. They're going down there at Kanawha County somewhere, you know, down there at Charleston.
That's where he lives.
Yeah. Well, he's got a home in Beckley. His house is in Beckley, and he's got one down there, too.
Yeah, but, Ed, that's only for purposes of staying on the ballot.
Well, you know, it's a vacation, I guess. I don't know. It's ridiculous that, you know, get back on point on with him. You know, he is totally ignored this. He could stand up, and, you know, he's leaving there. What's he got to lose?
There's a lot of people who could stand up. But you know what? He plans on being wealthy after he's gone from the legislature, Ed. And standing up to Don Blankenship is not a way that you plan for a happy retirement from the legislature.
Well, good Lord, they ought to know themselves that they're going to pick up and leave someday. I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's a shame that these politics down there are in the position that they are. And nobody wants to do or man enough. And there's a couple ladies down there that have spoken out. Virginia, she's spoken out. The Virginia man, she's been outspoken about these children. She's tried to help a little bit, but she could do more. And, you know, there's not a man enough down there to stand up and say, hey, let's do something about these kids.
Yeah.
And Donnie Boy, you know, partners in education.
Well, look at Ed. They just shelled out $100,000 for nothing more than the naming rights to a football game.
Oh yeah, yeah, to make themselves shine. Yeah, just like that dome. Another $5 million 2 years in a row now, I believe it was, to paint that dome down there. You know, I'm a construction worker. I could have painted that thing a whole lot cheaper than that.
I reckon.
And got the knowledge to do it, and we've been happy to get just $500,000. I wouldn't even probably charge that. You know, I'd feel bad about doing that state of West Virginia that way. But
anyway. Yeah, but see, Ed, that's the problem. There's a lot of people that don't feel bad about doing the state of West Virginia that way. And I mean, there are a lot of people that look at this government that's supposed to be of, by, and for us.
Uh-huh.
And they think it's of, by, and for their bank account.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame. It really is a shame. I just sit and I wonder every day. I watch this stuff on TV, you know, just like the football game thing. It's a shame. It really is a shame that they fork out this kind of money. And, you know, it wasn't long ago, you know, the state of West Virginia, they claimed they was broke. And all of a sudden they got all this money, you know, and doing this and doing that. It's ridiculous, you know. And to sacrifice our children down here at the Marsh Fork, you know, you see a lot of issues come up, whether the people vote for them or against them. And when the governor decides to get up, any governor, and make his claim on TV what they're going to do, whether you like it or not, whatever they say and turn their back, that's what you get. And he could do this for his kids. He could say anything. He could say anything,
yep.
You know, and move these kids and make himself shine. And I don't understand why anybody would, especially just a new governor.
Well, for starters, Ed, he's scared to death of lawsuits.
Well, it's going to get worse. I mean, he's digging a deeper hole. To me, if I was a governor, I would feel that way. You know, I'm digging a deeper hole. You know, deeper in. You know, Bob, they said we have no scientific facts. We did. course, everybody knows there was coal dust in that school. It's got to be. The plant and everything's right there. Big silo hanging over top of it. You get blasting back there. I got footage of silicate dust with this nitrate sodiums in it from the fertilizers and stuff that blowing straight down out of that holler. You know, the kids talk about, well, we didn't get all of our recess. Miss such and such rushes us in because it gets too dusty down there. But the people's in denial. They're just in this big denial, and it's all over greed. There's so much greed involved with this issue. It's ridiculous. The teachers won't even stand up for their own rights, their own health. They know that three teachers died there of cancer. You know, they know that kids have been sick there. You know, there used to be 277 kids there, I believe it was, a few years back. And you heard people talk about when it rained heavy down here, they feared of that sludge pond. They bused their kids. There was a few buses that run that way. If you lived in a certain area down here, you was allowed to put your kids on that bus, and they could go up to the Fairdale Elementary. And some of them just plain moved to Glen Daniels in the Fairdale area so they wouldn't have to bus their kids that far. And, you know, a lot of these people, here's what's going on down here now, Bob, and some of our local businesses. They've got a petition going on against Pennies of Promise. They're afraid that Pennies of Promise is all about the community pulling together.
Sure.
And building a school in our community. Not Fairdale, not have them consolidated up there, not lose our school, build a school in our community. You would think everybody would jump on board, but no, they got to get a petition out. Just finish killing the kids, as you would say. You know, it's ridiculous. And to fight a cause like this, the bus drivers, I guess they're afraid they might have to drive a little bit farther. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Why? It's
Well, anytime, look, we know what we're dealing with, Ed, and it's the same thing on a separate level. Think about the windmill deal in Greenbrier County.
Right.
Those bunch of fake environmentalists. Where do you reckon their money's coming from? It's coming straight out of Massey's pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the opposition to Pennies of Promise, that's coming straight out of Massey's pocket.
Oh,
yeah. We know who we're dealing with.
Right.
And we're dealing with monsters.
Well,
and they will sleaze a child, they will slime a parent, they will do anything within their powers as human beings and corporate the raiders.
You know, Bob,
to stop it.
When I first started this, you know, I had people come up to me and they said, "Ed, you can't beat this company. They're too big. You're just one person. They're too big." And I look at them, and I try to live a pretty good life, and I don't bother nobody, Bob. And I told them, I says, well, you've never read your Bible. You know, just read the Bible. What about David and the Goliath? One guy took down this giant, you know, with one single stone. He had three, but he slung out one stone and got him. You know, one guy took down this giant. And it can be done. It's not about taking them down. I never was about taking this company down. I was about saving these little kids' lives down there, putting them in a safe place. And people's got this so twisted around and made so many allegations about this and that on this issue, and it's just gotten so far out of hand. And, you know, only thing I know to do, you know, Joey Boy ain't man enough to stand up to the plate and help these little children. And, you know, I take it to the next level. I'll take it to Bird. And I'm sure.
Well, when do you start walking, Ed?
It'd be on the 17th. Or see, the 19th, I believe it is. It's going to be in a couple weeks.
I mean, you're going to start right there at Marsh Fork?
No, I'm going to start at the capital of West Virginia.
Okay.
It's 350 miles. And we got a route picked out of how we're going to go and got a support team. And going to be carrying a big flag, Pennies of Promise, a pathway to a brighter future, another little flag with that. And just raise awareness, put a little pressure on these people and raise a lot more awareness and try to do fundraisers along the way and raise some more money for these children to have a safer place to go to school.
And the goal is what, $5 million?
Yeah, that's a roundabout. That's a good goal right there that we kind of figured in. We've had different estimates, but the five is a good in-between mark, and that'll get you there. That'll get it done. And we're getting donations. I want to thank the man, he's probably listening tonight, that gave us a little donation on your show last week here. That was real, real thankful and come from his heart. I know it did. And, you know, he wasn't even from this state alone, period. And, you know, he's saying his heart to do the right thing. And, you know, we're getting a lot of calls from around the nation, too. People's really hearing about this story, and we're getting a lot of, we got a few more big magazines come in and done interviews with us, and people's hearing about this, and it's reaching out, and we're going to get this done, Bob. We got full confidence in it happening, and there's not a doubt in my mind it's going
to
happen.
Well, Ed, how long is it going to take you to get from Charleston to D.C.?
It's going to take me about 3.5 to 4 weeks.
That's a bunch of walking. You up to it?
Well, Bob, it's a small, small sacrifice for these little children. You know, if these little kids come down sick, and some of them's already sick, and you know, they got asthma problems, like blisters in their mouth, bad headaches, you know, and they come home all nauseated out and really feel like crap. You know, I got kids I've seen that used to get off the bus and just be full of energy. Now they're just dragging and sluggish and stuff. No, Bob, it's a small sacrifice, and I'm all for it. I was ready to leave a week ago, and we had to make a little planning and get things together and work with some people, and had to come up with a little bit of funding. I was ready to go with no money at all, and whatever it took to get the job done, I was willing to get her done. I found it my heart to do this for these kids, and yes, Bob, I'm ready and willing to do this. It's a small, small sacrifice, I think.
Are others joining you?
Well, we're going to ask people to walk with me as they can. There's a lot of people already donating their time. They want to walk along, an hour or two or however far they can walk. We're going to try to get people in towns that we already know. If they want to walk with us, with me, they're more than welcome to walk. Yeah, I have a little company. When I first started this, I wasn't looking at all that. I thought, well, I'll just get me a big flag of pennies of promise and hit it and get it done. And now that we've been into this a week or so and made a little plan and contacted lots of people, a lot of people out there are really excited about it, and they want to walk with me. They won't be walking.
Well, I'd like to share. I'd like to share some steps with you myself, Ed.
Well, we're trying to get people involved, and everybody's welcome. Especially the last mile or two at D.C. We would really like to see a big crowd show up down there. We're getting a lot of support, I believe, going to show there, and anywhere along the way. We're going to post it on the website here not very long. We're kind of keeping the route under our hat until the last day or two.
And I think you're well advised to do that, Ed.
And we was going to keep the whole situation under wrap, but we decided yesterday and today to just go ahead and let's let it rip. And, if people want to get out there and protest against me, go for it. They're not protesting against me. They're
protesting against little children.
Little children, So there it is. If they think that's what they need to do, go for it. More power to them. But no, Bob, this is a very small sacrifice, I think, that I'm doing for these children. And we got to get this stuff. And this has went on long enough. It's ridiculous, and there's no sense in it whatsoever. Shame on this governor for turning his back and sacrificing our kids. And, he's going to find out that more evidence is going to come up from higher places. I already know that as I speak, and I know what the outcome of this is going to be.
Well, Ed, I thank you so much. I hate to cut you short, but we're up against our top of the hour break. Keep me posted, please.
I will.
I'd like to share in this, okay. And I admire your courage.
Well, you're more than welcome, and I sure thank you, Bob, for all the work that you've done for us, too.
Be well, Ed.
Okay, Bob.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Bye now. Our good friend Ed, who will walk to D.C. for a group of children. Let's see if we can help him as he travels. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This ain't a song for the broken hearted.
This is a quality news network. The Senate today rejected two resolutions to begin withdrawing troops from Iraq, but the top U.S. commander in Iraq says troop levels will probably come down this year. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said the level will probably fluctuate, depending partly on political stability in Iraq. Near Baghdad today, five U.S. troops were killed in fighting, and officials in Mosul discovered the bodies of at least 25 executed Iraqis. Iraqi police also freed 17 of the approximately 55 factory workers who were still being held captive after yesterday's abductions. In Washington, officials say the U.S. will probably not shoot down a North Korean missile if it is launched, but the country would suffer consequences. North Korea's ambassador has been summoned to the Russian Foreign Ministry to discuss the issue. In Washington, the Bush administration is being asked to justify why it is allowed to ignore laws passed by Congress. Next week, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez will face questioning on issues such as a ban on torture and the domestic spying program. The Boston Globe reports President Bush has signed at least 750 memos since taking office in 2001, saying certain laws encroach on his authority. Also in Washington, Democrat John Edwards has proposed an ambitious plan that would end poverty in the U.S. in the next 30 years. The plan includes creating 1 million short-term jobs and raising the federal minimum wage. Edwards is a potential presidential candidate for 2008. In Washington, a scientific panel has confirmed a report that the Earth is now at its warmest point than in the last possibly 2,000 years. Scientists blame human activities for much of the warming. Also in Washington, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a Mexican man who has lived in the U.S. for 20 years should be deported. The decision is expected to affect many longtime illegal immigrants. In Arizona, 700 firefighters continue battling a 3,200-acre wildfire in Sedona. They say it's critical to contain the fire today. Crews are also battling a nearly 1,200-acre wildfire in Colorado. In Afghanistan, four U.S. soldiers were killed in fighting in the eastern part of the country. Today, the country's president said the international community should take a more proactive rather than reactive approach to terrorism. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The House voted today to exempt many estates from taxation and lessen the impact of taxes on others, but the bill would restore estate taxes in 2010. AT&T now says it owns customers' phone records and can hand them over to law enforcement if necessary. Privacy advocates are denouncing the policy change, which becomes effective tomorrow. Freddie Mac reports that mortgage rates have gone up to a four-year high. The average for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is now 6.71%. Repercussions from Hurricane Katrina are being felt around the country. The Associated Press reports many insurers are canceling policies throughout the country to reduce their exposure to future catastrophic events. The Conference Board reports that the leading U.S. economic indicators fell 0.6% in May. Economists see that as a sign that the economy will grow at a slow to moderate pace in the coming months. Chrysler says it will begin selling unsold 2006 models starting next month at a discount. The Detroit automaker says it may offer employee discounts to everyone. A new study says younger workers are twice as likely to steal office supplies as their older counterparts. Stolen supplies cost employers more than $50 billion a year. Light sweet crude settled at $70.84 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 60 points, NASDAQ down 18, S&P 500 down 7. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. 7.5 minutes after the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. Rather an eventful evening it has been. Listen, everyone. I'm knocking off early tonight, okay? So we're going to run the theme music and stuff. We're going to run the theme music, and I've got to run an errand immediately. So I'm sure you will understand. I apologize for the show being foreshortened, but you know what? We have family values here. We have family values. And sometimes when there are things you have to do within the family circumstances, you have to do them. So I appreciate your forbearance. So we'll be taking our leave this evening, and I'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern. And I apologize for running out early, but I think you've all probably been in circumstances where you had to do something just like this. So I thank you. I thank my darling wife Agnes for producing. Brian Reznor announced. John Fox is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Peter Godbold is our IT professional of Godbold Computers in Tallahassee, Florida. Ben Birch of WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream of this and all the other Head On Radio Network programs, as well as the archives of not only the Horns programs, but many other fine liberal talk programs. He's got a fundraiser going on, trying to raise $10,000 to cover expenses for the next quarter. He's making progress, but he's not nearly where he needs to be yet. So please do the right thing if you can spare the money. If you can't spare the money, please spread the word. A final reminder, spread the word about Lieutenant Watata's interview, if you could please. He needs it. We need Lieutenant Watata. The show happens every night because of the dedication of thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights who get up every day and go to work and build the American dream. By supporting the growth of the horn, they are saving the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.